Hi. Gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking a gay person to change and be straight. The Bible doesn't condemn gays. I know a lot of you really believe that the Bible condemns gays, but let me tell you something. When you're talking about a prostitute, you're not talking about a sexual orientation. You're talking about a prostitute. And so how do you use any verse that's talking about a prostitute to condemn a whole orientation? If you as a Christian, one would have this idea that you love truth. Now, because a gay person may say a sodomite means male temple prostitute, does that mean that the gay person is justifying his sin by trying to change what the Bible means? Because you believe sodomite means homosexual. Why don't you take the route that you should take and study the Bible? Get out the ancient history and the ancient definitions of the words of the Bible. It's pretty easy to do. Did you know that? It's pretty easy. If you have a computer, you just kind of do that a little bit. If you have a Bible program, you kind of do that a little bit. Then you get the original Hebrew word, sodomite, and you look up to see what sodomite means. It's used 7 places in the Bible. 2 are in the Greek New Testament, and 5 are in the Hebrew Old Testament. But they mean the same. You can't go to New Testament. You can't play around with Paul's words and say, well, Paul regenerated a word, made maybe a little bit of slang, combined this and that, and so came up with a brand new spanking word that a lot of pastors kind of do. They say that Paul actually did finagle with the Greek, like we always play with English, you know, and kind of make a kind of a word a little bit different. But what Paul did was not change the meaning of the word, as what apparently a lot of you do. There are words for homosexual in Paul's day. In fact, there's 9 Greek words for homosexual, and Paul didn't use them. And one word is sort of spelled similar, but Paul didn't use that Greek word. And those other words do mean somebody that's attracted to the same sex. Then there's also another word that is very, very, very common in the ancient days, way back in Moses' day all the way up to Jesus' day, is this word enoch. There's several kinds of enoch that Jesus talks about. Or eunuchs, however you might call it. And one of them is a phrase called born eunuchs. Now, why do you want to rely on yourself and maybe modern ideas of what this word means to depend on what the Bible means? Why don't you actually go and find out what the Bible means instead of what you want it to mean? You always want to say that gay people are wishing it in to justify. Don't you know that it's the other way around? You go so far out of your way to justify your hatred of gays by making words mean something they don't. Sodomite is one of them. Sodomite means a male temple prostitute. Archaeology shows all these fertility temples full of male temple prostitutes. The Hebrew history, you're walking to the promised land, Hebrew men stop off at the local fertility temples along the way and went to the male temple prostitutes in those temples and to the orgy rooms of the ritual sex places for these fertility gods. This is a no-brainer. You don't have to be a whole lot of smart to know this kind of thing. Your pastor always likes to preach about some of these things in another context. But what do you have the problem for with this word sodomite? Why do you have to make it mean homosexual? The main reason that you have this concept is because you have made this word to be sodomy. And sodomy is a new word in comparison to all time, the past 6,000 years. The Bible never used the word sodomy. Sodomite has nothing to do with sodomy. Sodomite, lots of people like to say, is a citizen of Sodom, and then you say, well, the citizens of Sodom was homosexual. So that's how you say that a sodomite is a homosexual, but that's not what the word sodomite means. All of the uses in the Bible never ever refers to sodomite as a citizen of Sodom. Never. Not even one instance does the Bible use the word sodomite to refer to a citizen of Sodom. Every single time in any places in the Bible says a citizen of Sodom. Somebody in Sodom. They don't judge it. Maybe technically you say, well, it's so easy, you know, you got Hittites and Moabites and all that, so why got Sodom? The Bible calls these people Hittites and Moabites and stuff. But they don't call the Sodom people Sodomites. We may call people in Seattle Seattleites or something, but the Bible did not call it that way. So what you have to do is assume something about God. You can't do that in the Bible. There's no such thing as an assumption in the Bible. You have to use what the Bible says. And the Bible word for sodomite is a male temple prostitute. The historical record shows that there's plenty of male temple prostitutes and female temple prostitutes in the land. Of the two, the more sacred in these fertility temples were male temple prostitutes. Paul himself, before he wrote Romans, went in and took a tour. You know, a couple of years ago, I went to France. And I'm not a Catholic or anything, but there's not a Notre Dame, the Catholic Church there. It's a tourist place. There's some people that actually go worship there, but there's a line outside. You've got to wait like a tourist, like there's Disney there, to go inside. Then you're inside, and you can walk it up and down the halls and all that kind of stuff, and the aisles and everything. Huge church. I toured that Catholic church, Notre Dame. But I don't believe in its ways. I'm not Catholic. I have my own ideas about the Catholic Church. You probably hear about them a lot here. And none of them are good. Paul knows about these fertility temples, but it's a known fact that Paul went to this very famous fertility temple in Corinth before he wrote Romans. Now, people, you have to understand, you can't make up the Bible. Deists can't make up the Bible. All you could do is find the facts. The facts is the temple that Paul went into had over 1,000 temple prostitutes, many orgy rooms, ritual orgy rooms, and it also had, you know, that statue of the unknown God that Paul got up and said, this is God, Father of Jesus, and he went on to preach the gospel. This is where that God was inside this fertility temple that Paul toured. He visited it. He went on vacation like it and toured that as any tourist would do. And because he is Christian and everything, he is keeping in mind these are other gods. And these are this and this and that and the other thing. Just like when you go places, you might go into it. You might even go into a Buddhist temple. And what you're doing is figuring out why they are other gods and not God of the Bible, and you try to figure out how can you then you pray or something to try to maybe get these people someday to figure out that they're worshiping the wrong gods. But, hey, you don't want to know that Paul actually went and saw with his own eyes inside the temple that had all these temple prostitutes. You just want to say that when he preached Romans, he was talking about gays. When he described some sort of manner, which is no doubt a sex kind of type of deal, as gay sex. How do you do that? Do you know how gays make love? Do you have any idea how they feel about each other? Why do you think that you are correct in trying to, when you go in these and you just love to say it, you like to emphasize vile passion, doing what's unseemly. You just love this kind of stuff. It just turns you on because it makes you see how God really hates gays. At least their acts. Why can't you ever look at your parents? Well, there's mommy, there's daddy. And listen to their story, how they met. Oh, they met, oh, you know, they met at church, or they met on the beach, or they met, you know, they bumped into each other, or then, you know, a friend introduced them, and they decided to date. Maybe met in school or something. And as they dated, they fell in love. And after they fell in love, they decided to get married and move in together. Isn't that what your parents did? Isn't that what you're in the process of doing? Or is that what you did? Or did you just go out to some fertility temple and pick your mate out of one of all those things and find the one that's the most vile passions and lusting into all this kind of stuff and say, I'm going to have this one and I'm going to just have my vile way with her if you're a guy? Is that what you did? How come you can understand the correct way of having heterosexual love, but you have no concept of gay love? How could it be this way? How come you can attribute to gays this vile stuff that you know that if straights did this kind of stuff in this going on to orgies and all this kind of stuff, that's sexually immoral? Why can't you then imagine that in the gay life, a gay person, if he goes into these places and have all manner of orgies and stuff like that, yes, he has fallen into the same type of deal of anything else that is going into sexual marriage. But if it's a boy meets boy, then they date and they fall in love, then they get married. Don't matter what you think married is. The world is starting to change over to let gays marry. Your whole, for so many of you just say, well, gays can't get married, so they have to live in fornication or whatever it is that you want to put on. Now you can't do that too much because so many can. But then you say it's the end times. And the end times gets more vile. So you always have a way that's not Bible to try to condemn something you hate instead of the facts. Don't matter if you like gays or not. You have to deal with the Bible facts. The Bible describes a sexual kind of act that is not gay behavior. Gays do not do that kind of thing. Just like in Sodom and Gomorrah. You love Sodom and Gomorrah. All the boys, all the grandpas, all the other males, and it has another phrase in that very same sentence, all the people. Now, what do you suppose that means? You just say, well, people's got to be men. There weren't a single woman in that whole town except Lot's daughters. Is it, how do you come up with your interpretation? Because so far, 700,000 of you later, I haven't found one of you that's able to tell me how come a gang rape with the intent of killing your victim is gay behavior, so that you could say gay is sin. And or that gay destroyed, I mean, God destroyed the city because of gays. When it was gang rape there. There's other books that almost got me put into the Bible that actually goes in more detail. That says that you know, somehow or another, it would be nice if you would begin to be more thinking over the things of what your mouth says. For instance, when you see a gay couple, you say, well, look at this guy, loves this guy. And they knew each other for a while, and they fell in love, and then they moved in together. And that you can't tell the difference between your life and their life if you get out this idea of one's a woman and one's a man, if you just look at the way that they live each day, pay their bills, go to work, clean their house, and stuff like that, you're not going to find anything different. When you go to the Bible and you use your 14 verses or so, and then you add other verses that has nothing to do with any sort of kind of sex or orientation, you just say because of sin. Like you say, well, see, the wages of sin is death. So you use that verse to add on to the 14 verses when the wages of sin has nothing to do with orientation. It just has to do with sin. But since you think another word for homosexual is sin, then you automatically can add any verse you wish. But you can't wish the Bible. You have to use the Bible as it is. You can't make it up. You can't wish it went a different way. You've got to actually use the Bible as is. And you don't use a whole city of people to condemn gay people unless you see that whole city of people are a whole bunch of males that have individually dated another male, fell in love, and they got married. So you see all throughout that community homes out there, and you go into the homes, and there's this gay couple. They've been together 10 years. You go to this gay couple. They've been together 20 years. These people just move in. They're newlyweds. This gay couple over here and so forth. And down the street, you know, they knew they're just dating. But, you know, they moved in a little early, you know, just like straights do sometimes. And they're thinking about whether they should marry or not. But they're love. You know, you have all that. You find this in Sodom. No, you'll find you go to each little house in Sodom and Gomorrah, and you'll see there's mommy. There's daddy. There's the children. Hey, what happened to all the... They're just males. Archaeologists, the best that they could find out in that area when they're digging up stuff is families. This book I was talking about, this other one, shows that one of the things they did in Sodom was they made beds. They purposely made the bed short. Because that way, on some of the beds they made long. And they put them on the corners, street corners. And then they set the bed. Then they go over and kidnap, as it were, often. And sometimes they take visitors, but they usually go off and kidnap, bring the person in there, and put them in that bed. And yes, they're going to rape them, but first, they got a little thing that they have to do. They purposely made the bed too long or too short. This is what it is in the historical books of ancient, which the Catholic Church actually was contemplating entering in, but they said it's too much like Genesis. We don't need two books of Genesis in there, so we're not going to put this other one. So these beds that are on the street corners that they make, like I said, too long or too short, and they put these people on these beds, these males on these beds, if their body was longer than the purposely made short bed, they'd cut their legs off to make them match the bed. If these beds were too long and the body that they put on there were shorter, see, on these beds were actually stretchers. And they would tie up the person in such a way and stretch their body until there was a length of the bed. Hey, this is gay behavior, isn't it? Because this is what you always like to say. You don't want to study. It's like this thing, born eunuchs. You want to say that, oh, born eunuchs. That means you're born unable to have sex. Or if you have sex, you cannot have even a prayer of a hope of making a baby. You have this idea. But you don't care that the verse that this is in says that for most of you that I'm trying to teach this subject on, you can't get it. You won't accept it. I wish you would accept it. So if you think that your standard answer, church-wide, is correct, then you call Jesus a liar. Of course, you'll never admit to this because you'll say you have to be right. That a eunuch is a person that can't have sex or something like that. Or at least chooses not to, or some other kind of stuff. Or is abstaining. You have all these ideas, which is common, and Jesus says that most Christians will not accept it. How could common, everyday belief about something equal most Christians won't accept it? Go figure. But you still will
deny anything that I say, won't you? Born eunuchs, if you do a study, and people do study. There's a 7-year study that there is somebody that said that he spoke fluent Middle Eastern languages, at least 5 of them, including dialects, also 2 or 3 other languages of that general area he knew a good deal about. And he spent 7 years researching who eunuchs are. He had to set a hard criteria, very strong. It had to be like days today. You could perfectly, absolutely, from the day you were born to the day you died, you were perfectly functional. And when you got to the right age, you could produce a baby if you had to, if you wanted to. Nothing wrong with your body, you could do it. Your sex behavior can produce babies. You have nothing wrong with you physically. This is one of the criteria. You had to also not like, because the Bible talks more about men than women, so it's harder to find things on women, but they're there. So yeah, the research for tens of thousands of ancient documents, you could find that I have to have this kind of thing that they don't really like. They just, women, they're just not interested in. They don't want sex with a woman. But they desire sex with a man. Just like you heterosexual men desire sex with a woman, and you heterosexual women desire sex with a man. So the criteria was, not only did they have to be perfectly healthy, functionally, physically, and everything, that they could produce babies, they also had to not like the opposite sex, and had to like the same sex. And they had to actually be going out and meeting people and doing it. None of this raping stuff, because that's not gay behavior. That's a straight behavior. If you go into the Bible and you look at all of the gang rapes and stuff, those, they're straight. In Sodom and Gomorrah was generally straight. They had the family. You can go to the geological record and you can find mommy, daddy, and children. You could go to read Abraham. He came to the rescue because, you know, Lot was his uncle's over there. You had to come there and make some, he had to help them, you know. Sodom was in a war. Abraham came, won the war to save Lot. And he didn't want to keep the booty. Technically, the king of Sodom would have happily given them all the booty. But Abraham didn't want that because he knew it's the evil side. He didn't want anything to do with that kind of stuff. And so he gave back. It's a commerce. You know, you work, commerce and stuff. You have a job and you do things in the land. The kinds of explanations the Bible is telling you in these kinds of words in here is talking about that generally family life and working everyday lives, you know. Just like we today, you know, we go to work and come back. In the extracurricular time, they had some pretty bad vices. Well, if you don't know Jesus right now, I'm about out of time here. Turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. But you got to read the King James Bible, because I tell you, if you read the modern version Bibles, you're being conditioned to accept Antichrist. Whether you want to accept that or not, I'm telling you, you should put Westcott and Hart in your web browser and read the multitude of pages that comes up on Westcott Hort, and you'll find out what I'm talking about when I say, do not stay in those modern translations. Times are running out, and you're not ready.